to talk to you guys today just for a few minutes. I want to preach, maybe encourage your life and just talk to you for a few moments on a subject matter that has been very, very near to my heart and hopefully is something that's going to encourage you, and maybe you're going to find a little strength in it this morning yourself as well. If you're a note taker, you can title this message. It's going to be called Bittersweet. Bittersweet. I was walking into the kitchen one day. My wife loves to bake. Are there any bakers here? Are there any bakers here? My wife loves to bake. I see you all. I bet you all can make some serious baked goods around here. But my wife loves to bake, and I came in the kitchen one day, and she was mixing something up, and she had this bowl, and there was chocolate in it. It was melted, and it was all there, and her chocolate cake is absolutely amazing. All of our friends put in their requests for her to make chocolate cakes for them for their birthdays. And so she was in the kitchen, and she had this mixture there, and I went in there, and I said, ooh, I hit it just in time. How do you know what I'm talking about? When you walk in the kitchen and you see that little plastic spatula thing hanging out of the bowl, you're like, right on time. And so you walk in the kitchen and you pick up the little spatula, and that's what I did. And I'm always trying to just, if the spatula's not there, I'll just kind of sneak my finger in there. And I don't tell anybody, but I just try to get a little taste of the batter because I love the batter. And she had this bowl, and it was prepared, and it was melted. And I reached in there, and I got that thing out, and I just went right for it. Just mouthful of it. And I went. It looked like chocolate. It acted like chocolate. It had the same texture as chocolate. It looked like Hershey syrup. But I didn't realize that she had melted bitter baking chocolate in the bowl, and the other ingredients that went with that to make it sweet, come on, were not yet in the bowl. How many of you know that sometimes in your life, something looks like the right thing, it feels like the right thing, and you dive into it like it is a pool, and you realize there's no water here. And it's only because all of the ingredients are not yet a part of the story that you need for what looks good to taste good. And sometimes God takes us through things in our life where we have to endure bitterness before we get to the sweetness. And that's what bittersweet is. When something's bittersweet, it's pleasurable and painful all at the same time, according to Webster's Dictionary. It's like good and bad. And I want to take you in your Bible, if you have a Bible with you this morning, like maybe you have an iPad or a phone, or maybe you carry your Bible. However you want to do that, Exodus chapter 15. Hopefully I won't preach too long. I don't want to be that guy. I want to encourage you this morning and pray that somebody gets encouraged in a bittersweet time. Exodus 15, chapter 1. Let me set this up real fast. This is right after. Somebody say right after. Thank you. I love interactive preaching. Right after the children of Israel had crossed out of Egypt. Check it out. The Red Sea, bam, it splits open, right? You've heard the story. They just recently did a movie that was a little bit off, but at least they did a movie about it. It's called Exodus, and the Red Sea split open, and the children of Israel went through, and all of a sudden, as soon as Pharaoh and his armies were pursuing them, the sea crashed in on the people, and the children of Israel got through to the other side, and they were taken out of Egypt, and God delivered them. And this is the chapter right after they crossed over. And so we see this start happening. And then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider, it has thrown into the sea. Continue going. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Come on. Now they're singing a song of praise is what's happening right here. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a man of war. They're bragging on God, right? Check it out. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. They're bragging, right? How many of you have ever been in a place in your life where some good things are happening for you, huh? Hey, nothing wrong with good times. Somebody say good times. When good times are happening in your life, it's a whole lot easier to sing a song like this, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier to be like, hey, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than it. Got enough money in my bank account. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. House got paid for. Hallelujah. Rents all covered for the rest of the year. Yes, Lord. But what happens when we encounter bitterness? Later in the same chapter, the song changed just a little bit. Exodus 15, 22. Go down to verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Somebody say, no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? The people did what? The people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? It's interesting to me in this world that we live in just how fast we can go from our God is greater, our God is, to what is wrong with you? I can't believe it. Why are you putting all this pressure on me? How am I going to get out of this situation? Where are you? Come on, God. I just paid my tithes. Right? In the same chapter, the first trip they took after they came out of the Red Sea, the first place they settled, the water that they were looking for was bitter, and immediately they were ready to revolt again against Moses. And the Lord is teaching us something in this scripture. And he's teaching us that just because everything is always going great in one moment of your life doesn't mean it's always going to stay that way. You are going to have to learn how to live in a perpetual, somebody say perpetual. You're going to have to learn how to live in a perpetual cycle of God's blessing in your life, but also dealing with the circumstances that come into our life where we have to seek him out for his guidance and for his direction and sometimes for a miracle, right? Sometimes we get into places in our life where we need God to work a miracle. So let's continue to read this scripture. So he cried out to the Lord, Moses did, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, watch, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases, somebody say none, on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Here we go. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that when you walk through things in life, it's not always to stay, but it comes to pass? Aren't you glad that God is faithful, and he's good enough to bring you out of the Red Sea, and he's also good enough to stand when the waters are bitter, right? So it's amazing to me how amnesia can hit us in the church. We live in a cycle of victory, but when we find a wall like Jericho that holds our promises, we press on the wall, we want it to come down. But God has a specific plan on how to get that wall down. And most of the time, it's not the plan that you and I have. Moses cried out to God and he looked around and God said, you see that tree over there? Take the tree and throw it into the water and it'll make the water sweet. And my question for you this morning is, when you begin to face adversity in your life, when you are in situations that are bitter but not sweet yet, are you looking for the tree to throw into the water? Or are you looking for a place to hang the blame? And a lot of times in our lives, we try to figure out why we're where we are instead of counting on the lamp. What does the Word of God say? It says that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And instead of counting on the lamp to lead us to the next place. You know, the most painful thing about a lamp leading us is that there is a certain diameter that it covers. So if you're walking out in the woods and you're carrying, some of you probably, maybe you hunt. I hunt and I go in the woods early in the morning and it's dark. I mean, when I tell you it's dark, it's dark. It's dark 30. We go in the stand and we get in there when it's dark so that the deer don't know I'm there. You know what I'm saying? I don't want him to have an idea that I'm there. I've put all this cover scent on and all that stuff. But I carry a little flashlight with me. And it's only going to light just a little bit of my path. And I think that's where God's trying to get us to in our lives is we got to learn how to let him be our guide and trust him enough to know that I can't see and track you right now because what you have illuminated is not satisfactory to me right now, Lord, if I can be honest with you. But I have to trust that beyond the diameter of the light that you are going to show me a tree, come on, to throw in the water. So what do we have to do? Number one, to change bittersweet things in your life, these are the three things that I believe God is going to do this morning in your life. Number one, be ready for this. Our cognitive perception, watch out, I'm going to use big words on you, and spiritual discernment are going to be reset to the skill set of Yahweh. Oh, God. Our cognitive perceptions, say it again, and our spiritual discernment are going to be reset to the skill set of Yahweh. What are you saying, Trent? Yahweh God. What I'm saying is that our mental capacity to understand when we get into situations that are bitter have got to be reset to God's skill set and not whether or not we can push down the wall, but whether or not the shout of the people can make it crumble. You see what I'm saying? Whether or not the water can be turned sweet or whether or not I need to just throw the tree in there versus trying to pull the water out and figure out how to sweeten it. Somebody's like, hey, just put some sugar in there. You know what I'm saying? No, what God wants us to do is look to him and figure out in our lives, how, God, do you want to make the bitter moment in my life sweet again? You know, Keisha and I were going through a situation several years ago, and so many great things were happening in our life and in our ministry. I mean, God was just opening doors and continues to open doors that boggle our mind. And we are privileged to sing in so many amazing places and minister in so many amazing places. And we had all these great things happening. I was doing worldwide television and all these different things. And then one day we were at the gym. And all the goodness just went away in a moment because I looked across the gym and I saw my wife. And she was standing by this bathroom door, the locker room door. And she's looking at me with this horrific fear on her face, and she's going like this, and I go over there and I find out that her heart is in an arrhythmia pattern that will not release, and it is just do 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 do, and she thought she was having a heart attack. And I said immediately we're going to the doctor, we're getting everything checked. We finally got it to calm down. We went to the doctor, got everything. I said, I love you, honey. I you are everything. These beautiful children, I got to have you. You know what I'm saying? And I said, I want all of your help. We got to just get it all checked. And while they were doing a major, major checkup and scan on her, they then notified us, well, we see some stuff we don't like on one of your breasts. so we need to do a biopsy. And so all of a sudden, everything that's so great, hey, Pharaoh's army, the water crashed in on them. Hey. We came over the sea, man. We rocking. We good. Look, Victory Church. Man, God, we're exploding. Hey, people are getting saved. Woo! We're baptizing people. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. The enemy will try to attack you. And when the enemy tries to attack you, the question is, how do we react to bitter water? And so in our lives that day, I'll never forget the day we had to have a surgical biopsy done. And then waiting on that, and some of you have gone through that, and maybe you're even facing that today. I want to tell you something. I believe that God is a healer. I just sang a song earlier about it. And maybe you didn't get the answer that we got the day we went in. Maybe you're facing a situation. I'll never forget the day we went in, and the doctor came in and said, the first thing she did when she walked in the door said, no cancer. I think she wanted to relieve us. But I think the reality in our lives is sometimes we do hear cancer, or we do hear you're fired. We do hear we found your son in a situation that you need to come down here right now. Right? Sometimes life deals us bitter situations. Sometimes it's sickness. But what are you saying, Trent? I'm saying the whole reset to Yahweh's skill set, mindset that we've got to get into is we got to calibrate. Some of you guys know what calibration is. That is when you set something against a standard. And the standard has got to be the word. So in sickness, we got to learn how to just reset. We got to go Isaiah 53, by his stripes I'm healed. You know what I'm saying? We got to reset to the mindset of Yahweh. When you're under a personal attack, you just got to, Psalm 34:19, you just got to say, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers me out of them all. You know what I'm saying? You got to reset your mindset. When you lose your job, you just got to know Romans 8:28. For I know that all things work together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. You got to reset to Yahweh's mindset and skill set. So I think a lot of times wrong thinking is this. The water's bitter, right? What are we going to do now? We've come all this way. Can you just hear them saying, I've sacrificed. My feet are hurting. Come on. I was running from Pharaoh and my feet have corns on them. You know? We're struggling because we don't understand why we've come all this way and God did something big and now the water's bitter. And what we find is we find ourselves in a position where we're complaining instead of praising. And I'm convinced, Pastor, that the reason that God had to keep the children of Israel quiet around the walls of Jericho is because he knew that in their tongue was the power of life and death. And because if they had started walking around all those 6 days, come on somebody, and it was hot up in there, right? And if they'd have been walking around all those 6 days and not been told to not say anything, don't say a word, is that was the instruction. Because y'all know, it wouldn't be you, but I know y'all have some cousins. You got some cousins that would have been like, dude, what are we doing? This is loco. This is crazy. Joshua's got us out here, man. It's hot. We're walking around. We don't even have any guns. I mean, they didn't have guns. I mean, spears, whatever. We don't have arrows. We don't have spears. We're just walking around. All we got is ram's horn to blow a trumpet. What in the world are we doing? We're going to get killed. You know what I'm saying? That's what would have been happening. But God convinced Joshua to tell the people, don't say a word. Because a lot of times in our life, when bitter situations come, we talk ourselves out instead of in. You hear what I'm saying? We talk ourselves out instead of talking ourselves into sweetness. Start looking for the tree. And so that's what happened. And what happens is frustration sets in. Watch. Frustration sets in when God doesn't do what we expect when we expect it. So I just came across the Red Sea, and how come the water's bitter? You know, that happened in, if you want to go into the New Testament and see a story where it happened, just go to John 11, 21 through 25. John 11, 21 through 25. Many of you know the story of Lazarus. That was Jesus' man. That was his homie, man. I mean, Lazarus died and Jesus was not there, and he had been told that Lazarus was sick and he could have gotten there. But he decided to stay a couple of days longer where he was. And when he gets there, this is what happened. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd just been there," check it out, right? Now, she's talking to the Son of God. This is Yeshua HaMashiach. This is not like your friend down at the corner store where you're buying like a fountain drink. You know, this is Jesus. And he loved Mary and Martha, and he loved Lazarus. And she says to him, "Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died." Watch what he says. "But even now," here we go, "I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And then she gets ready for the sweet by and by. Go to the next verse. Jesus said to her, here we go. He said, "Your brother will rise again." But watch what she says. Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She's not thinking the way Jesus is thinking. You follow me? She's not looking for a tree. Come on, somebody. She's looking at her current situation, and she's telling Jesus, "If you'd just been here, we could have had him back here on the earth." But she don't know who she's standing with. And Jesus says to her, "What? I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, she says to him, "I know I'll see him in the final resurrection." And he's like, "Lady, I am the resurrection. You're not catching it, lady. The resurrection is here. I am he." And so she says, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And the story goes on. You know what happens. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave. He takes the bitter situation and Mary's frustration. "If you would have just been here, he wouldn't have died." Have you ever thought to yourself in some situation in your own life that you feel like it's dead? Maybe a dream, an idea, maybe a business, maybe a relationship with a family member. You think, "Man, there is no way this thing can live. If God, if you would have just done something back at the family reunion when I asked you to. Lord, at Christmas last year when we got together, you know I asked you to get my sister's attention and stir her heart and get her to come over and talk to me, and you didn't do it." You know, a lot of times in our life, we get frustrated because God doesn't do what we expect when we expect it. And the Lord is working on our patience, and he's trying to show us that there's a tree, come on somebody, to throw into the water. So when we reset to the Yahweh mindset, we start saying, "Lord, I thank you for how far you've brought us," instead of, "Lord, my feet are hurting, look where I've come from," right? "Thank you for protecting and providing for me at this point." This is kind of like a different mindset. This is how I would talk. Now, God, I look into the spirit realm, realizing that you're not going to use what I see as a solution for a natural problem. So you're going to cause a supernatural solution to come to my natural problems. And so we start resetting and we prepare ourselves. So you start talking like this: "Lord, I prepare myself to receive a miracle however you see fit to perform it, not the way I want it." So number two, this is what I believe is going to happen in this place today. Bitter emotions from relationships, careers, businesses, lost investments, lost housing, disrupted marriages, and disappointments are going to be turned sweet. So number one, we're resetting our mindset to Yahweh's skill set. Number two, today, bitter emotions from relationships, careers, businesses, lost investments, lost housing, disrupted marriages, and disappointments are going to be turned sweet. You know why? Because one of the things I love about the Lord in this scripture is that if we look and the people in verse 24, they say, they're shouting, they're mad. "The water's sweet, and we're going to rebel now against Moses. He just brought them out of Egypt. They're going to rebel against Moses." And Moses says, "Let me go to God for you." And that's when God shows him the tree. Isn't it amazing, Brandon? Check it out. This is for you. God will always, in spite of our failure to hold it together sometimes, you know what I'm saying? He will always come and redeem it, even though we don't act right. Oh, God. They were standing there after they had just come out of Egypt, and they were already ready to rebel against God and against Moses. And they're like, dude, the water is bitter. What's up? And in spite of their inability to love God and to be gracious and kind and not be ready to roll out, He still provided for them a way to turn the water sweet. You know, that goes back to 1 John 3:20. There's some times where we're just going to miss it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I call like healing grace. Like it's God's grace to heal us whenever sometimes we just step into a place where all we can do is just blame, or all we can do is react. Come on. How many have ever, come on, are the gentlemen in the house that have ever reacted or said anything inappropriate to your spouse? Hey, I'll be the first to raise my hand. Maybe your issue is not anger management. You know what I'm saying? Maybe your issue is different. But everybody has an issue that at times they fail and they're looking, and it's because maybe we react incorrectly to bitter situations in our life. And we need God to turn it sweet. So today, I believe with all my heart that God is going to turn some bitter situations sweet. You know what I love about this scripture is that God always uses foreshadowing in the Old Testament and in the Torah to lead us into the New Testament and show us Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. And I love the way that Moses is standing there and he cries out to God, and he tells God, the water's bitter. What am I going to do? And God says, it's a tree. Now, it could have been anything. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all know what I'm about to say. It could have been anything. It could have been a rock. It could have been a cactus. Come on. It could have been, they were in the desert, man. It could have been anything. But God said, throw that tree in the water and it'll make it sweet. It's not any surprise if you turn in your Bible over to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. You find this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. God help us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing, watch, of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Today, in our situations, it's different because we're not in a desert physically with Moses, and we're not tasting bitter water physically like Moses and the children of Israel did. What we are doing is we are in the kingdom of God now, and Jesus has come to be the great Passover lamb, right? To graft us into the vine. You see how this works? And he grafts us into the vine, and having grafted us into the vine, he puts us in a position where he now is the thing that we can access. He is now our tree. Come on. That turns the bitterness into sweetness. Come on. The blood of Jesus spilled on the tree is what turns our bitterness into sweetness. So now we're standing in a position where God is saying, because of Jesus, the blessing of Abraham now is accessible to you. Well, what is that? What is the blessing of Abraham? You guys know it. You've been taught in this church. Let's just read it real quick. Deuteronomy 28. Let's learn the word of God. Let's don't just think about it. Let's know how to react. Let's know how to react when bitter situations come in our life and know the answer. The answer is to obey the Lord. Now watch what it says. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently, what? Obey the voice of the Lord your God. Reset. In other words, reset. Reset to Yahweh's skill set. Don't stand on our own skill set. Reset to Yahweh's skill set. What does his skill set include? It includes his law that governs the earth. You know, one of the great problems in our nation is that we're ripping the Ten Commandments off of everything. Oh, God, I can't find anybody yet, but it's okay. One of the great problems in our nation is that we're living in what I call a lawless place right now. Nobody wants to abide by the laws that God set up on this earth. Because God sets up laws on this earth that if you abide by them, the blessing of God rests on you. In other words, even in bitter situations, if you abide by the laws of God, He will turn them sweet for you. And we're living in a generation where even at times we want to live in what I call lawless grace. And that is, we want to stand in places where we don't feel like we have to obey God, but we still want God to cover everything, and then we get upset when it's not covered. And I just believe with all my heart that Jesus came to make the waters of your life sweet. But there, I wish I could just turn on TV this morning and put it up on the screen for you and put somebody up on the screen, because there's plenty of them out there who will tell you, listen, all you got to do is just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Don't matter if you treat people wrong. Just love Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're in an inappropriate relationship. Just love Jesus. Doesn't matter if you steal a little bit under the table from the company every now and then. God knows you got bills. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to be real. We're living in a lawless generation. Doesn't matter if you just sneak over on that website every once in a while. Come on, somebody. Oh, I can't find nobody yet. See. In other words, there are stipulations to the blessing. Jesus opened the door, became the sacrifice, and invited us in, but you still got to cross the threshold. Okay? We still got to cross the threshold. So this is what comes with God's blessing. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today. I love this. The Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. All of the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. You guys know this. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. I love it. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it's so good, all the way down to where God is saying the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain in your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. That's all the way down. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Come on. Above and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God. But the water's bitter. But it's bitter. I'm in a bitter place, Lord. God is saying today, reset, calibrate, back over to the mindset and the skill set of Yahweh. Get out of this worldly system that wants you trapped in a mind that feels like you need to watch Fox News or CNN to get an answer. God is able to deliver you out of all of your afflictions. And I just want to encourage somebody this morning who might be dealing with that, dealing with bitterness, dealing with something. Now, I'm not talking about bitterness personally towards somebody. Maybe that is the case. I'm talking about a bitter situation that you expected to be sweet. God has the ability to turn it sweet. And the last thing I want to speak over you and encourage you, the number three thing that I want to encourage you with this morning is this, that multiple wells of provision in business, relationships, finances, and physical healing are about to manifest in this church. Multiple wells. What are you saying, Trent? I'm saying that God may have served you up into a place where you're having to stomach some bitter water right now. But if you can pass the test, come on. If you can pass the test, God is not going to leave you in that land. He's going to lead you to Elam. And in Elam, the Bible says that there are 12 wells and 70 palms. 70 representing the nations of the earth. In the Jewish culture, the nations are, the number is 70. And 12 wells, each one. Look, God even provided one for every tribe of the tribe of Israel. God knows exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. And I just speak over you that God is leading you into multiple wells this morning. That He is providing multiple wells and provision. Those were actually date palms. I studied it a little bit. And so they provided food, shade, cover. God is providing what you need if you will learn how to deal with the bitter water that sometimes is delivered in your life. God will work a miracle in His season and in His time. You know, I'll close with this. I was in Chicago the other day. I've been traveling with my kids, and we've been singing and ministering so many different places. And I was staying at this hotel downtown. I got this hotel downtown for my kids, and my wife decided while we were there that she needed a hairdo. How many men just, oh, Lord. So you just hold your wallet when mama says, I got to go to get my hair done. You're like, this is going to hurt. My wife needed to go get her hair done. She said, you know what, babe? I think I'm going to do something crazy. She's like, I'm going to change my hair color. I was like, okay. I think it'll look great. But on that same day, I had some things I needed to get done. I've been on the road. It was about 3 weeks in on a road trip. I woke up that morning. She had an appointment. We were in the city. I had to get up early and try to get her to this appointment. At the same time, I banked with this certain bank, and I had an issue that I needed to get dealt with regarding a business endeavor. I needed to find a bank, this one specific bank. But I didn't need an ATM. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need an online service. I needed a bank where I could walk in and handle a piece of business. And it was a certain bank I had to find. And then I woke up that morning and I felt like, man, I have just eaten too much on this trip. Does anybody feel like, man, just some days you wake up and you're like, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have ate that 4 pieces of fried chicken last night. It was not a good idea. I probably should repent for going to 119, what is it called? 1110 Main Street, whatever that restaurant is right down there. I went with Pastor last night, and I had a prime rib, and it was not a small. Let's just put it that way. And I was deciding that day that I also had to go to the bank, and then Keisha had to get her hair done, and I was already kind of panicked about that. But anyway, and then on top of that, I felt like I'd overeaten. I'm like, Lord, there's this one protein bar that I really like. Does anybody just have one little thing you like? Like, it's there's 50 of them, but I want this one. I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm that guy. If I ask you for a protein bar, don't just bring me this one kind. I want this one specific kind, and there's only one place I can get it. And they have them at 7-Eleven, okay? 7-Eleven has it. And so I travel a lot, and there's 7-Elevens all over the country. So I always go into 7-Eleven. I get this one protein bar. I'm a creature of habit. Forgive me. And so I was kind of like, that morning I just was up, and I had not had coffee yet either. And so I wanted some coffee, and there's a certain kind of latte that I like to get at Starbucks. And so I wanted to find a latte. And so I was kind of having one of those days like, Lord, I got all this stuff that I want to do today. I need to get to this one specific kind of bank, and I got to do a little bit of business there. My wife is asking me in the middle of Chicago on a we're kind of like taking a vacation day off from ministry, and we're going to go hang out with the kids, and she's going to go spend her whole day getting her hair done, and I got to find the salon. I got to drive around downtown Chicago, find the salon. And then on top of that, I really kind of feeling, not skinny today, Lord. I ate too much, and all I want today is just to eat protein bars all day. It's like, have you ever watched those fad diets? Like, if you could just drink 3 shakes, you'll lose 27 pounds. You know what I'm saying? And so I was kind of feeling like that. I'll just have a protein bar today. That's what I'll do. And then on top of that, I got up that morning, and there was There was no Starbucks near us, so I couldn't get a latte, and I was just having one of those days. I looked in the mirror before we left the hotel room. My hair was all jacked up. And so I was having a bad hair day. And I was looking for a hat. I've got a Costa hat, Costa Del Mar hat, that's kind of got some camo on. And I was like, man, I just need to put this hat on and just go hide. You know, I did take Keisha and just, I will be the Secret Service today. Nobody will know who I am. I'm just going to go hide. And so I get in the car and I start taking Keisha down the road. And I drop her off at her salon. And I'm like, honey, have a good time. Praise the Lord. Don't spend too much money, please. And I promise you, as God is my witness, with this crazy little story, God spoke to me. I pulled around the block in Chicago and started driving down State Street. And I thought to myself, well, I guess I better Google where this particular bank is. It was a PNC bank. I needed a PNC bank, and I needed it now. And I wanted my protein bar, and I wanted my latte. I had already dropped Keisha off. And as I was driving down State Street, I slammed on the brakes because on the corner, as I was one block away from where her hair appointment was, I saw a sign. It said PNC Bank. And I was like, yes, PNC Bank. There it is. As I pulled into PNC Bank, check it out. I pulled into the little side parking lot of PNC Bank, right across the street from PNC Bank. Guess what it was? Starbucks. You got it. On the same block was a Starbucks. And so I really started getting happy. Then I was like, see, God loves me. I knew He loved me. I knew the Lord was going to work this thing out for me. And so I was able to go into the bank. I got my business handled. That I was panicked that I wasn't. It was this last day I could get it done. And then I left out of there and I went to Starbucks. And when I walked out of Starbucks, I started walking back to my car and I looked on the other side of the street. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that sometimes you think things are bitter in your life? But God is really working all things together for your good. You know what I'm saying? This is my dumb little story, but it's something God used to talk to me. God can talk to you out of anything. He used a donkey in the Bible to speak to people. And I looked across the street, and God is my witness. Of all the places in Chicago there could have been, there was a 7-Eleven. And I ran across the street to the 7-Eleven, and I got the protein bar that I wanted. And I promise you, this sounds kind of crazy, but I walked out of there and the Lord just spoke to me. And He said, I know all of your needs all of the time. I know where you are all the time. You're on my GPS. It's God's positioning system. And as much as you think the little things don't matter to me, God started dealing with my heart. He said, the little things matter to me that matter to my children. And you can give the Lord a clap and a shout. Yeah. So what are you saying, Trent? I'm saying that in the last 24 days, my wife and I and our family have launched out into a place of faith that we've never launched into before. Some new things that we're believing God to do. Some uncharted territory. Some space that I can't see outside of the diameter of the light. You hear what I'm saying? And I launched out into that out of some times where I feel like, man, this water tastes a little bitter. You know what I'm saying? I'm serving you, Lord. I'm running all over the place, telling people that you love them, seeing miracles happen, seeing people give their lives to Christ, leading them in worship, encouraging people, writing songs for folks. And in my own life, I feel like I'm drinking water that's a little bitter. But even still, even still, I'm going to step out into what I don't know, and I'm going to start looking for the tree. God, help me. I'm going to start casting my cares to the tree, and I'm going to start expecting that I'm going to see a tree to throw into the water, because you're going to make the water sweet in my life. And I just want to tell you today that there's not one detail of your life. This is the last thing I'm going to share, and then I'm going to pray for you. There's not one detail of your life that God is not concerned with. Thank you, Lord, so much for your healing grace today. God, thank you for washing us. Thank you for bitter situations that are turning into sweetness today. Lord, I just pray for this church, God, that you would cause sweet things, Lord, to manifest, God, in the lives of these believers that are here, God, that you would cause sweetness to rest in this church every moment. Lord God, for each one of us, Lord, that are in our journey right now, Lord, that you would cause those pools of water, God, that we find and run into, Lord, that may deliver bitter water, be the miracle worker that you are, Lord. Turn them sweet. Turn our sorrows into praise. Our mourning into gladness. And our sorrow into joy. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can somebody give the Lord a clap and a shout like you believe he's helping somebody in here today? Come on, somebody just give the Lord praise for a moment and just thank him. Come on, thank him because he's blessing somebody and turning somebody's situation around. Come on, praise him like that's your son or your daughter or your father or your mother or your brother or your sister. Praise him like it's somebody that's been praying for a breakthrough and God might have just done it for him. Come on, you ought to praise God like you know he is able to do it for you. Come on, this is the family of God. Hallelujah.